Now, in my work with InterVarsity, with students and staff, one of the core things I do, and the core thing that I talk about, is that we are called wherever we are. Whatever campus we're at, we're not there on accident, but God has called us there on purpose. And I think it's the same for church. Actually, I'm very confident it's the same thing for church. The word for church is ekklesia in Greek, which actually means the called out ones. When you gather at a church, you identify yourself as someone who is called. You can't separate the calling from church. We gather here not as a social club, or we don't gather here so that we have this special feeling every Sunday, and you feel really great because you connected to God. But actually, we are here as a people from all of our diverse backgrounds because we are called to a greater mission. The mission of Jesus. We're called by the Spirit of God to dream big, embrace higher purpose, to see with new eyes, and to speak with His heart to a community that desperately needs to know His redemption. Calling's great, but I suspect there are many of us here that have been tired of calling. Some of us have tried it out, and it's backfired. Or for others of us, we nod at the idea of calling and we think it's too lofty and too impractical. Many of us come from immigrant families, and the idea of calling comes with suffering, and we think we've already suffered getting over here to the United States. Why do I have to come here to a church and say that Jesus is calling me to sacrifice even more? Some of us have been waiting for a sense of calling, but haven't gotten anything. Some of us have tried it and have fallen flat on our faces and aren't sure if we really heard God. And much like my peers looking for relationships, you've looked at this calling thing and you're not sure it's for you anymore. You just want to delete the app. Today, we look at Peter at a time in his life when he was in a similar spot. He was ready to give up on this idea of calling at the end of the book of John. You see, Peter had seen the highs of calling. He had responded to Jesus' call to say, "Come and see, be a fisher of men." And over a few years, he watched Jesus perform the most amazing miracles he's ever seen. He was seeing Jesus lift people out of their places of poverty, out of literal paralysis. But yet that all came crashing down when one of his own friends betrayed Jesus and sold him out to his enemies. And as if that wasn't even, that was bad enough, Peter actually himself denied Jesus. And the words built on betrayal and betrayal and betrayal actually led to this really dark place where his friend and his leader was hanging on a cross and died. You see, Peter had gone from the highs, and all of a sudden, all that purpose and meaning and calling in his life had disappeared in one quick week. Peter lost his leader and watched the movement he had joined fall in one fell swoop. However, it's in the midst of Peter's shock and lostness that the risen Jesus comes to Peter and calls him. He invites Peter back to a calling of love and demonstrates the tenacious and unrelenting nature of his calling to Peter. This week, I think that Jesus first wants to remind us that he is in our gaps and the lostness between our calling and the weird, imperfect, chaotic reality that we are in today. Jesus is present. And second, I think that Jesus desires to reorient our callings back to a calling of love. And finally, we'll see that this invitation remains patiently available. Jesus doesn't give up in his calling, but he will keep calling us over and over and over again until we completely say yes. The calling of Jesus to us, his people, finds us where we are, invites us continuously into a relationship of love and surrender. Let's read today's scripture from John 21, 2 through 19. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said, "Children, have you no fish?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net to the other side of the boat. You'll find some." They cast it. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. That part still confuses me. I have no answers for you. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net of full fish, for they were not far from the land, only a few hundred yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now, this is a big chunk of scripture. My voice is tired just from reading it. And there's a lot of things going on in there. But I want to focus on a few things that I notice about calling in the scripture. And I want to share with you today. The first thing we notice about calling is that it happens exactly where we are. Peter has been through a roller coaster. He went from boldly telling Jesus that he would go with him to the death, acting violently to defend Jesus. He cut someone's ear off, and then almost completely opposite, just denying him and saying, "I don't know him." And then after that whole roller coaster, he watches his friend helplessly get accused and crucified for a death he did not deserve. And he's in the middle of that mourning, but as if he can't get a break, all of a sudden, Jesus appears to him out of nowhere in a room that was locked. That was freaky. And then Jesus appears again. And then they literally can feel the holes in his hands. And then Jesus disappears. Peter is freaked out at this moment. So he does what any typical man does when he doesn't know what to do. He goes fishing, all right? No, he's not a typical man. Actually, Peter was a fisherman. This was actually what Peter was familiar with doing. I'm actually a horrible fisher. My friend Jeremy used to take me fishing, and he would always talk about how many fish he caught, but he never caught one with me. So I think I affected him. I'm sure he's a great fisher, but he never caught one with me. Peter was actually a normal fisherman, and that was what he was doing before he followed Jesus. So he was going back to what was familiar so that he could just clear his head, get away from it all. He was lost. He was disoriented. And even in the midst of him trying to make sense of it all, he was failing even in the midst of that. He didn't even catch a fish. But you see, it's in that place that Jesus shows up on the beach. It's in that place where he is so far from his calling and he's almost hiding that Jesus shows up. It's in that place of confusion and disappointment. Jesus shows up. It's in the place where he's given up. Jesus shows up. It's in the place where Peter isn't sure he can recognize Jesus or even himself, that Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up on the beach. And Jesus doesn't show up and start to lecture Peter. Actually, it's really beautiful what he does. He just nonchalantly says, "Hey, seems like you haven't found any fish. Try that side." Asks if they have anything to eat. It's actually a very good Chinese greeting. "Have you eaten yet?" Says, "How about you look on the other side of the boat?" And the disciples put their net down, and as they're putting the net down, they realize the net is getting heavier and heavier, and there are fish filling this net that was empty all night. And all of a sudden, Peter recognizes that this is Jesus, because it was Jesus who shows up in the normal situations. It's the Jesus that showed up in the beginning of their friendship, in the normal setting of a wedding that had ran out of wine. And it was Jesus who said in those moments where there was nothing, that no, the water shall be wine, and that there was wine more abundantly and more better tasting than they could have ever imagined. This is the same Jesus that shows up in our moments of confusion, our moments of lack, surprising us and saying, "I show up in abundance and in goodness." This is the Jesus that shows up on the beach to Peter. And it's this Jesus that stands on the beach for each of us. He stands on the thresholds of our disappointment, our anger, our shame, our disillusionment, our attempts at hiding in the normal. He stands on the beach, simultaneously casual, yet miraculous and abundant. He stands there in the middle of it. And oftentimes it's hard to recognize him. Perhaps because we've gotten lost from all the chaos of life. Perhaps because we've given up looking. And perhaps because it's too painful to keep looking. Yet it's in that place that Jesus arrives and demonstrates his power and gives us calling. In the place we least expect, the everyday present. Jesus is in fact here today, inviting you, calling you. The calling out of Jesus happens here in the imperfect, complicated, present reality, no matter how clean or messy your life is. Jesus is just here, and he longs to reveal himself in abundance and power to you. That's his grace. The calling of Jesus comes to all of us. None of us are excused. We are the church. We are the called out ones. No matter where we are at emotionally or situationally. But you see, that call is not just Jesus showing up and imposing his power on us. He sits with us and gently invites us into a specific calling of love. You see, calling is not to burden us or hurt us, but to heal us, to free us to love. The calling of Jesus begins as they're having breakfast with the newly caught fish, and Jesus looks directly at Peter, and he starts off the conversation very strangely. Do you love me? And it's not that Jesus isn't sure that Peter loves Jesus. As Peter repeatedly answered, you know I love you. I don't think that Jesus didn't know. Actually, I think what Jesus was trying to bring across was that his calling starts from a place of love. And that was a reality that Jesus wanted to reset in Peter's life. His calling begins in a place of love. And it starts with that place of loving him so that we know the things that he loves and we can feed his sheep. We can love him, and out of that love flows out our love for those around us, for those that he loves. And sometimes it gets so complicated in figuring that out. We lose our way. We're not sure what we're supposed to do with this huge thing called calling. When I talk to college students, they're always confused. They're going, do I have to change my major? And then they change their major 3 times in a quarter. No. Some of us here not in college, maybe I need to change my job. Maybe I need to sell my house. Okay, maybe Jesus might be inviting you into that. I am not going to discount that. Actually, he might be. But it's not that complicated, actually. The beautiful, simple, poignant thing that Jesus is telling Peter is love him. Peter's been lost in how to love Jesus' sheep. He's not sure if he should be angry. He's not sure if he should be indignant. Not sure if he should be running away and hiding. And Jesus pulls him back to the center and says, do you love me? We get lost in those details. We get lost in how to love his sheep, but it starts in that first place. Do you love him? It's about loving him first. And as we love him, we love those he loves. Not the other way around. We don't love the sheep and therefore love Jesus. But Jesus establishes that it starts with love and loving him. And he longs to restore that order. Jesus' calling first comes to us and seeks us out where we are. And second, it is a calling of love. And finally, we learn that Jesus' calling is a stubborn, persistent, not gonna give up kind of calling. It's peculiar that Jesus asks Peter this question 3 times, but we know with each repetition, the emotional intensity rises. He starts off with this, do you love me? And then, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And you can even sense that emotional intensity rising palpably in the scripture, the way that John writes it. In fact, the word for how they describe Peter is describing a deep grief and pain and mourning as he hears it over and over again. But I don't think that Jesus was playing a shame game with Peter. Jesus wasn't out to torture Peter with his failure over and over again. And there's a lot of interpretations on why Jesus repeats this question over and over again, but I think actually Jesus is trying to show his unswerving, unrelenting, not going to give up nature of his calling. You see, Jesus wanted all of Peter to love him. Not just a surface level love. Jesus could see the layers of shame and anger and confusion. And Jesus looked at that and said, I don't want just the surface, Peter. I want the whole thing. And so Jesus was showing that he would keep coming back to Peter. He wouldn't give up on Peter because of the failings. In fact, this was the third time that Jesus showed up to Peter. And I'm sure Peter was thinking, well, I've totally messed up these last few weeks. I don't think I really deserve this calling that Jesus originally gave to me. The very fact that Jesus shows up shows that he is faithful. And yet he shows it again with this repeated, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's as if he's saying, I will keep inviting you over and over and over and over again. And I will fight through every single layer of shame. I will fight through every single layer of failure, of anger, of sin, of brokenness, of whatever barrier you think there is to that calling. I will keep asking you, do you love me? He wants to pierce through every layer so that he can have every single part of us. For every single one of these layers, Jesus wanted Peter to be restored from a place where he was stuck in this cycle of self-condemnation and self-commendation, as Paul Metzger, a theologian, says, to a place of loving relationship with Jesus again. And it's in that place of persistent love that calling begins, and we are free to walk in mission. Jesus longs to free us up to this calling, New Vine. And that's the whole purpose of this church here, in this neighborhood. You are called people. And it's a calling of love, and it's a calling that Jesus will keep presenting to you over and over again. He's not afraid of being annoying. He's not afraid of being rude. He just loves you too much. But we lose our way like Peter lost his way. Even I've been in ministry for 10 years now. I found myself lost. Last year, for my sabbatical, I tried a few things. I went on a cruise, tried to relax, couldn't relax. I tried to read a bunch of books, that didn't work. So then I just went on this really long hike just to get myself off, like my mind off of it. And I realized I couldn't relax because I was just really angry. So I went on this long hike, and I told my accountability partners, I'm going on a long anger walk with Jesus, all right? I'm angry. I was angry because I had been working with community colleges for 8-9 years, and it was hard work. None of the ministries lasted. It was tough work. Cultural isolation. I would be the only Chinese person, except for one Asperger's kid that was really weird. There were tough situations that I had to think through all the time. But I felt so convinced about that calling. I'd done everything right. I had paid all the dues to Jesus. I went to the poorest colleges. Because that's what Jesus told me to do. I said no even to a serious relationship because that's what Jesus told me to do. I went to students' funerals because that's what Jesus told me to do. I realized that I was angry because I had done so much for Jesus and I was tired of watching students die. And I was tired of watching ministry not last. And I was tired of doing things like I was on the short end of a business contract. This was a bad deal. Yet every mile of that hike that I was on, Jesus walked with me. He didn't shun me because of my anger and my grief. He wasn't disgusted. Instead, he just kept showing up every day. And he fought with me and he fought for me. Layer by layer, he fought through each of those layers with gentle love. Until one day, he stopped me in my tracks. And he said, I am not your business partner. I am your lover. I am your father. I am your friend, but I am not your business partner. And I don't call you to go to hard places as a contract. No, you're not going to get anything out of it. But I'll tell you what you get out of it. Those places are places that I love. And I love you, and I want you to be where I am. And I'm giving all of myself to these people. And I know there won't be any payback, but I want you to be with me. I love you, Daniel. Come out of these places of debts and deals. I tore up those contracts as nail tore through flesh. Come back to the free rhythms of grace. It's in that place where Jesus called me back to a place of calling that was based on love. It's from that place I can find the passion and the energy to say, yeah, there's some unreached campuses that we haven't gotten to in decades. And yeah, I'm going to be leaving the Bay Area. I had thought the Bay Area would be my reward for working really hard for many years. But yet, I realized my real reward is where my lover is. That's Jesus. And you know what? He's madly in love with UC Santa Cruz. He's madly in love with Cabrillo College, with Gavilan College, with Hartnell College, with MPC, with CSU Monterey Bay. He loves those campuses. And there are students that he loves that are walking on each of those campuses without a witnessing community. And I have to go because that's where my lover is. I don't go there because it's easy. I'll be lonely again. I'll face a bigger budget that I have to raise. I gotta raise more money, you know? I'm not doing these because it's easy or because of a reward. I'm doing these things because I know that's where the one who loves me is. And I will go where he goes. He doesn't actually want my service. He wants to be with me, and he wants to be with each of you. I think especially as immigrants, we think that we have made all the sacrifices to get here in this place. Especially Chinese immigrants, I hear this, but it might be similar for others, right? But as we suffered so much, shouldn't we be having a good life here? But Jesus says, no, it's not a business partnership. I called you here because I wanted to meet you. And your reward is to be with Jesus. Like a jealous lover, Jesus is inviting us not to settle, but to go for so much more. He's asking us, do you love me? So feed my sheep. This isn't just for Peter, but it's for every single one of us here in this place. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves the church, we are called to love God and out of the abundance of his love, not the poverty of his love, we can love those around us. Jesus isn't afraid to call us out where we are in all our mess. He doesn't care about how long it'll take for us to recognize him and his loving call. He'll wait there for us. He'll fight for us. He'll go through every single layer and won't stop until he gets to our hearts of hearts. He wants us to be a community called to care for those he loves, but it must start from a place of saying, we love you, Jesus. This week, I believe the invitation for us is not to forget that it begins with Jesus coming to us persistently, stubbornly, calling us to love him. Our calling begins from us responding to that invitation of love. And from there, we can be the community God calls us to be. It's simple. We're to love God. And out of that love, we love others. Jesus is standing at the shore. He asks simply, do you love me? And he's going to keep standing there. Some of you have come into this place and you were just invited by some random person, and this is your first time at church. That invitation's for you. Jesus is saying, I have laid down my life for you, and I conquered death so that I could be with you. Jesus is inviting you to love, to be with him. And there are some of you who have followed Jesus all of your lives, and you've been tired of this calling thing. You're like, can I just do the Sunday motions and just like kind of fly under the radar? And Jesus is still yet standing at the shore and saying, I love you. Will you love me? Come back to your first love. He's here in the present. He's saying, do you love me? And he's going to keep calling you to that love. As the worship team comes up, I just want to lead us in a little bit of response. I believe that today, Jesus is standing on the shore, at the beach of our hearts, at the threshold of our disappointment, our anger, our shame, everything that we are, and he stands here and he wants to invite each and every single one of us to that response of love. And I want to pray for you today. Piano plays, I just sense the Holy Spirit is here and he's at work. The Holy Spirit is here. He's a real reality that is beckoning us persistently to be with him. And he's calling us to that place of love and to respond. Jesus will come to us. It always begins with Jesus coming to us, but there requires some response from us. Christianity is not a passive religion. If you were looking for a passive religion to follow, go to another religion. Jesus, unfortunately, keeps asking us to respond to him because he's like a jealous lover that won't stop until he has all of us. And I believe that he wants to invite some of you today. There are some of us who I described in that first group. You just wandered into this church. Or this is your first church experience. Or you've been thinking about this Christianity thing. And I think actually Jesus is saying, I want you to love me, not just come to the service. I gave all of me to you so that you could be with me. There's some of you here today that are in that place. There's some of you today who've responded before, and Jesus is saying, I want you too. In fact, that calling might be even stronger for you, where you feel like, well, I've failed, I've messed up, I have not been in the place where Jesus wants to use me, but in fact, Jesus is inviting you. He's looking straight into your eyes, saying, don't pretend like I'm not real. I'm here. And I'm going to stay here. And I love you. Today, if that's you, if you're in either one of those camps, and you feel the Holy Spirit stirring in you, I believe that the Spirit wants to do something in your heart, so I want to pray for you. Just as a sign of saying, I respond to you, Jesus. If that's you, could you just stand up? And we're community, so it's not a place of shame. It's not a place of embarrassment. But it's just saying, you know what? I want to tell the community I need some prayer. So if there's anyone here today that you have felt far from Jesus' love, you have felt far from that calling, I want you to stand up. Thanks. The Holy Spirit is beckoning you. He stands there at the shore, saying, I want you. Is there anyone else in this place? Anyone else? These people had some courage and stood up. Maybe God is stirring something up in your heart. I always do response because I don't think we are in an aloof relationship with Jesus, but we have an opportunity to respond to him every week when we come and gather like this. Anyone else? Let me pray. Spirit of God, I ask that your Spirit come and fill us up, God. Would you come and fill up every single place of emptiness, every single place of lostness, every single place of incompleteness? Spirit of God, we know that you are the filler up of things that are empty and incomplete. Jesus, we know that you are the redeemer of lost calling, and you are the giver of new calling. So God, I ask that you would come and fill up these called out ones with a new sense of calling, that you call them sons and daughters of the Holy King of Heaven, and that they are called to be lovers of that King so that they can be lovers of the community around them. Jesus, I ask that you would restore that connection of love with every single one of these people here, even those people that were too scared to stand up. Lord, I know that you are stirring in the hearts of your people. I know that your Spirit is always at work. So Jesus, would you come and fill us up? Make us a people that are called and that will respond to your calling. We are not an aloof people. We are not an apathetic people. We are people who say, we love you, Father. We love you, our lover. We want to be with you, and we want more people to be with you. Jesus, make us a people sold out to that calling. Not because of what we're going to get out of it, but because we know the depths of your love. Jesus, fill us up and send us out. Bring us back to a place of love so that we can feed your sheep. There are people here in this neighborhood and the neighborhoods where we are going, where I'm going, that need your love. The need to know your salvation, to know your redemption, your resurrection. Fill us up with that life-giving, freeing love so that we can free others to life. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.